Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Two people, including a child, were injured after someone opened fire on a Raleigh road, striking a school transport van. Hear from the mother of one of the children on that van at the time.
Plus, Durham police are responding to questions about their handling of a protest that blocked traffic for hours during the evening commute.
And that pretty sunshine finally begins to warm us up. I'll show you why our pattern is changing and how much warmer it will be in the next few days.
With breaking news this noon, nerves on edge after bullets struck a school transport van in Raleigh. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. We just spoke with the mother of one of the students who was on that bus. Michelle McConaughey shares that mother's story from the WRAL Live Center. Michelle.
Yeah, we are just learning all of this information this afternoon from the Raleigh Police Department that a school van with children inside was shot at early Monday morning. I want to show you a video from the scene of when this happened. Around 6:30 Monday morning, the Raleigh Police Department responded to Walnut View Road in regards to a shooting into an occupied vehicle. One adult and three juveniles were inside that transportation van at the time and were not struck by gunfire. The van was struck. The adult driver, one juvenile, they were both transported to the hospital with minor injuries. Three other unoccupied vehicles and a building were also struck. And in all of this, so far, no arrests have been made. But the mother of two children on that bus spoke with WRAL's Chelsea Donovan. She says her kids were on the bus when it stopped to pick up another student at Walnut Trace Apartments. As soon as that student stepped into the van and closed the doors, bullets started flying.
And that's when bullets start flying everywhere. It had my two daughters in the back seat. As soon as my oldest daughter started hearing the gunfire, she jumped over the seat, injuring her shoulder to cover her younger sister who has special needs. And once they stopped hearing the shots, they all tried to get out of the van. And right when she got out of the van and got saved, that's when she FaceTimed me and told me what happened.
And she says her kids are just traumatized. They don't even want to go back to school. She says, as you heard her mention, they do both have minor injuries. One, a shoulder from jumping over the seat to get to the other daughter who was in the front of the bus. She had glass fragments in her arm. But she says it has been days. She has heard nothing from police. She has heard nothing from the county. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan is working on getting those answers as to why.
Michelle, thanks for that update. Israeli troops tightened their circle around Gaza City today as Secretary of State Antony Blinken arrived in Israel. He's pressing for a ceasefire so humanitarian aid can be shipped into Gaza. NBC's Jay Gray reports from Tel Aviv.
Well, over the last 24 hours, some of the most intense fighting we've seen in Gaza since the war began. Strikes from the air, the IDF saying now that troops have advanced on the ground, completely surrounding Gaza City, and their plan to move in and to affect Hamas infrastructure in Gaza City. They say that they will leave, quote, humanitarian valves for civilians to escape. But it appears that they are on the edge of pushing into Gaza City at this point. This all coming as Secretary of State Antony Blinken is back in Israel. And part of his message here, restraint. That with growing calls from the White House for humanitarian pauses in the fighting. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has said emphatically and repeatedly there will be no pause, there will be no ceasefire. The Rafah crossing with Egypt continues to be a very busy place right now. Hundreds over the last couple of days, foreign nationals have moved across that border, leaving Gaza and into Egypt and onto their countries, including dozens of Americans. On the list today, 367 Americans looking to escape Gaza. That's the latest right now from Tel Aviv. I'm Jay Gray, NBC News.
Journalists of all backgrounds are bringing this story to the world, but for some, it is really hitting home. A Palestinian reporter broke down on air describing the situation in Gaza. Salman al-Bashir burst into tears while reporting from one of Gaza's hospitals. During his report, al-Bashir removed his protective vest and helmet with press markings on them, saying the journalists are being targeted there. His colleague was killed about an hour and a half before his report. along with his wife, son, and brother. Al-Bashir went on to say no one is looking at the extent of the disaster.
Within the last 15 minutes, Durham's police chief responded to yesterday's pro-Palestinian protest, which blocked a major highway for hours. Chief Patrice Andrews says she stands firmly behind the way her officers handled the protest. WRL's Eric Miller has been following this story for us today. And Eric, Chief Andrews said she's also disappointed with the tactics this group chose to use.
All right, Renee, the chief had some pretty strong words here for that protest that happened out here behind me on those northbound lanes of 147. She said this group's actions were, quote, disruptive to the entire community. Now, you take a look at this video here. You know, everybody saw these pictures yesterday. How could you not? About 50 people blocking those northbound lanes, nearly 100 others standing around chanting, protesting, at one point praying. Now, this was declared an illegal protest right around 6 p.m. yesterday afternoon, officers ordering these protests to disperse and telling them that if they didn't, they could face arrest. Now, despite that, nobody was actually arrested here yesterday. The chief, again, in her statement in the last few minutes, said she stands behind the officers, the actions of her officers, and she was actually proud of the actions they took here yesterday. Now, this morning, we're also hearing from the group behind this protest, Jewish Voice for Peace, a pro-Palestinian group. Their goal, of course, was to try to get the three local North Carolina congressional representatives to sign on to a ceasefire, to push for a ceasefire here. Now, that has not happened. That we did hear from Representative Valerie Fushi yesterday expressing her sympathy. The group, Jewish Voice for Peace, today saying that sympathy is not enough here at this point. Now, this is still an ongoing story. We'll continue to follow it, bring you updates as soon as we get them. Renee?
Eric Miller, live in Durham. Eric, thank you. A region at the heart of humanitarian calls across the world is only the size of Raleigh. Tonight at 6, WRL's Ashley Rowe looks at how the Israel-Hamas war spans a landscape only a bit larger than the triangle. Using augmented reality, she'll explain the size and scope of the Israel-Hamas war. That's at 6.
All southbound lanes of I-85 in Hillsboro are now open after a crash there. The lanes were blocked for nearly 4 hours. Lanes reopened this morning at 6 a.m. and a WRL crew was on that scene as a truck was towed away. It appeared to be part of that crash. No injuries have been reported. Two people are dead after a crash on Highway 2427 near McDuffie Road in Moore County. Horrible accident here. Heartbreaking scene when the WRL breaking news tracker arrived. Police say a car abruptly crossed the center line into the path of a semi truck and hit it head on. We learned a 30-year-old man from Dunn and a 25-year-old woman who was inside a Chevy Cruze died. The highway was shut down for several hours to investigate.
We started the day with freezing temperatures, but warmer air is on the way. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner joining us now to walk us through our mild weekend forecast. And it looks beautiful out there right now.
It does. You know, we started with our temperatures upper 20s and low 30s this morning. We've seen a very quick warm up, but you can still see a lot of people here in Chapel Hill dressed in long sleeves, pants. Of course, it's chilly still. 56 is our current temperature, but our wind is fairly light at 5 miles per hour. We take a look at temperatures across the region. Lots of temperatures in the low to mid 50s, 55 Southern Pines, 56 in Clinton, 53 South Hill, 52 in Roxborough. We take a look at our 24-hour temperature change. Definitely a difference from this time yesterday, anywhere from 5 to 8 degrees warmer. We had highs in the 50s yesterday. We're going to climb on up into the mid 60s for this afternoon. And tomorrow and Sunday, looking beautiful. A high of 71 on Saturday and 72 on Sunday. So some pretty weather in store. Lots of things happening this weekend. Of course, we have the Fayetteville Veterans Day Parade. We're going to take a look at the forecast for that. Lots and lots of college football forecasts for what you may have planned for the weekend are coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. New this noon, major economic development news for the Triangle. A Virginia-based pharmaceutical company is expanding its footprint into the capital city. WRL's Ken Smith joins us now with what we know about this company and its future plans. Ken.
Renee, we're talking about the pharmaceutical company Indivior, based in Richmond. Now, with the help of Google Earth, here's a reference point as to where that company will be located at 8900 Capitol Boulevard. Indivior is investing $60 million and adding 35 jobs to this North Raleigh facility. A company spokesperson tells WREL, Raleigh's high-quality universities and academic talent pool makes the capital city a good fit for the company's pharmaceutical manufacturing goals.
Indivior focuses on opioid use disorder and other disorders of addiction, as well as mental health. So this specific facility will be manufacturing our products for opioid use disorder and schizophrenia.
In making the announcement, Wake County Commission Chair Shinika Thomas says the expansion of this life science facility will retain and create new jobs in one of the county's targeted growth areas. Now, in terms of timetable, that spokesperson tells me it'll be a couple of years before the Indivior Group can fully establish and actually start manufacturing its product in that North Raleigh facility. We'll, of course, keep you posted on the company's progress. Jeff.
Thanks for that, Ken. A contractor has been arrested 18 months now after a Five on Your Side investigation led to charges. Roger Simmons served prison time in 2019 after serious issues with his work. After he was released, our team found new accusations that Simmons was going by the name Dale Jr. and was taking thousands of dollars from people without finishing their projects. Wake County District Attorney Lauren Freeman said Simmons needed to be criminally investigated after seeing what our team uncovered. That was in May of 2022. Simmons was just found and arrested Wednesday morning on 7 felony charges. Next at noon, the October jobs report is out. What it says about our economy as the holidays are fast approaching.
Also, the national outlook for winter weather has been released. What we can expect for the cold months ahead.
Plus, it could be the end of a well-known soda additive. At 12:30, how the FDA plans to ban an unsafe ingredient.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
The October jobs report shows the U.S. added 150,000 jobs last month, less than what analysts predicted. The holidays are quickly approaching, and as costs rise, many people are turning to part-time jobs to help them get through the season. Kelsey Coffey explains what that means for seasonal workers.
Those new numbers are showing that the labor market is cooling. This comes as a hiring event is happening right now at the UPS on Atlantic Avenue. UPS will hire more than 1,000 seasonal workers from the Triangle. The latest job report shows 150,000 new jobs have been added to the labor market. That's less than what economists expected. The unemployment rate rose to 3.9%. Economists were expecting for the rate to hold steady at 3.8%. But the holidays are coming. Seasonal workers will be in high demand.
The holiday spending has been fast forwarded. It's not now. I think I've seen some reports of retailers saying, yeah, people were in August. Buying things for the holidays. So, yeah, we may actually see some businesses starting to ramp up for holiday spending.
That was NC State economist Mike Walden. Despite this national slowdown, North Carolina's job market is still booming. Amazon is expected to hire more than 11,000 employees here in North Carolina, and more than 3,000 of them will be from right here in the Triangle. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News in Raleigh.
And investors are reacting positively to the new jobs report. You can see the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 255 points. S&P 500 also in the green, up 4 points. And NASDAQ up 163 points at this hour.
Former President Donald Trump's son, Eric, is back on the stand today in the $250 million civil fraud trial against the Trump family and their company. His testimony began yesterday, at times becoming heated. The youngest of the former president's two adult sons acknowledged he was aware of the Trump Organization's statements of financial condition as far back as 2013. He had previously denied knowledge of that. Donald Trump Jr. also testifies this week. Ivanka Trump must testify at her father's civil fraud trial as well. Late yesterday, a judge denied her request for a stay. She wanted to put her testimony on pause until an appeal can be heard by the New York Appellate Court. Her attorney argued in Thursday's filing that forcing her to testify next week presents an undue hardship because it's in the middle of a school week.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, following some breaking news, a former Donald Trump political appointee who tried to storm the Capitol and assaulted law enforcement on January 6th has just been sentenced to almost 6 years in prison, 70 months in prison. Federico Klein was arrested back in March of 2021 and convicted of 8 felonies as well as misdemeanor offenses. The government had sought 10 years in federal prison for him. They gave him nearly 6. So far, more than 1,100 people have been arrested in connection to the January 6th attacks.
Milk is a major part of some people's diets, but heat and a warmer climate threaten how much milk cows produce. UConn researchers are looking to tackle the problem. Kevin Gase talked with a researcher and shares a solution.
That can be the difference between continue that farm operation or just selling everything and doing something else.
Brano Fragomeni is researching cows, specifically their summertime struggles.
Over the span of summer, they tend to decrease, especially food intake, which decreases their milk production.
His research finds a significant drop in milk production when temperatures go above 65 degrees, a problem in the face of a warming planet. The solution could be better breeding.
My research tries to identify animals that are naturally resistant to high temperatures instead of trying to modify the environment that much.
A single bull adjusted to heat can produce thousands of heat-resistant calves through artificial insemination. Fragomeni says it's common to breed in favor of milk production. His research seeks to add in genetics for heat tolerance.
Their daughters are going to be still good milk producers, but also are going to deal well during the summer with the higher temperatures and humidity. And we're not going to be that stressed anymore.
Research like this is happening at a critical time, according to experts.
Climate change is very real in its impacting farmers. Farmers are always among the first to face the impact of climate change.
Suresh Kamiri, an assistant extension educator with UConn, says farmers have been dealing with the impacts of climate change for years. But as problems grow,
it is absolutely necessary to continue to work on research.
And not only cows, but crops too. Kamiri says that means identifying heat-resistant vegetables too, or implementing best farming practices for a changing climate. It takes time, but will pay off in years to come.
If we keep doing it, in a couple of generations, we're going to have a very good herd of high-producing, heat-tolerant cows.
That was Kevin Gase reporting. New maps from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration show which areas of the country could see snow this winter. Scientists say it's going to be a moderate to strong El Nino winter, the first one in several years. El Nino is a natural ocean and weather pattern in the tropical Pacific. The South can expect wetter and cooler weather, which is what the maps show in the blue shading, while the North becomes drier and warmer, which is indicated in that tannish brown shading. It's important to note the maps are not an actual snowfall forecast. But last winter, we did not have any significant snow, and I know there are a lot of kiddos waiting for a big one.
Yeah, well, and the snow means precipitation, which means we get a little bit of that wet weather, which we need, really. We're down. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRS Severe Weather Center right now with a look at that.
I'm one of those kiddos waiting for the big one.
Kiddo heart,
come on now. Let's take a look at Apex. Looking lovely out there right now. Temperatures are mostly in the mid-50s with that sunshine and light wind. It feels pretty comfortable across the viewing area currently. The temperature 56, the dew point's 27, so we have a fairly dry air mass. And as Jeff said, yes, it's been dry. We're going to see more dry weather before we have any rain. As a matter of fact, I was looking through the models to find our next best chance of rain. It looks like next Friday, maybe, and even then it looks fairly light. So we are starting to work our way into more of a drought situation. But if we're going to do that, this is the time of year to see that. We get into, you know, December, January, February. That's a pretty wet time of the year for us. So hopefully it'll be short-lived. 55 in Southern Pines. It's 56 in Durham, 56 Rocky Mount, and in Goldsboro. We take a look at our temperatures, climbing to 64 this afternoon in Raleigh, 63 in Durham, and 66 in Fayetteville. Checking those temperatures, we do have cooler than normal temperatures with us today, even in the mid-60s. Our normal high is going to be in the upper 60s. And we do see a warming trend. We're going to see more warm air pushing in as we get into the middle and latter part of next week in particular. It's going to feel nice over the weekend with highs in the low 70s. But we're going to climb into the upper 70s mid to late week. Take a look at the high pressure system. High pressure systems rotate clockwise. This high was sitting back to our west and dragging down some cold air into our area. That high has picked up and started to move eastward. And as it continues to move eastward, it drags in some warm air from the south. And so that will increase as that high very slowly slips off to the east. It's not really going anywhere too far, so it's going to sit there and continue to keep things dry for us. High pressure systems are typically associated with dry conditions. 67 is our normal high. We're above that Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Monday, but just barely. And then we jump on up into the upper 70s for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week. It is still going to be a chilly night tonight. One more night with temperatures fairly far below normal. 32 in Durham, 33 Lewisburg, 34 South Hill, and in Wilson. Temperatures will be a little warmer this morning, or tomorrow morning, than they were this morning. 31 Southern Pines, 29 Sanford, 37 in Fayetteville. But still, in my book, that's still big puffy coat weather. Our normal low is 44, so that's still a good bit below normal. But we're back to normal over the weekend, Sunday and Monday morning, Tuesday and Wednesday morning, all looking nice and mild. The Fayetteville Veterans Day Parade is Saturday, and the weather can be tricky in November. This one looks good. 10 o'clock temperature, 55. At lunchtime, 65. We're going to see plenty of sunshine, and Gilbert Bays is the MC, and we're Pride Community sponsors. City of Oaks Marathon on Sunday. Temperatures are going to be cool at race time, 44 degrees. That's what runners want. Of course, Jeff Hogan is one of the MCs of the race, and he's going to run the whole thing. Jeff said he's going to run it in about 2 hours and 20 minutes. Just kidding. No matter how fast you go, Jeff, it's going to be like three times as fast as I could ever do it. Temperatures are going to warm up a little bit at lunchtime, closer to around 60 degrees. We take a look at the 7-day forecast. One more thing to remember over the weekend, set our clocks back, and then it's not going to feel anything like winter as we get into Wednesday and Thursday with those warm temperatures.
Can't drive it that fast.
Just no stranger to marathons. How many is this for you now, City of Oaks?
City of Oaks I've done a couple times.
Yeah.
32.
Wow, yeah. 32.
Since you put me on the,
kind of knows how to do a marathon.
Great, Jeff.
He
awesome.
Thinks running 26.2 miles is fun. Wow. Good luck. Good luck
this
weekend.
You.
Coming up on WRL News today at 5, the temporary closure of the Wake County Animal Center because of a canine flu outbreak is causing ripple effects for pet owners and other shelters in the area. We'll show you how.
Plus, find out which restaurant in Durham had evidence of rodents all over that establishment. That's in this week's restaurant ratings. And still ahead this noon, Amazon's brick and mortar strategy takes a big hit. Why shoppers will have to stick with shopping for Amazon style online.
And an additive already banned in Europe and Japan could soon be banned in the U.S. The surprising result of recent tests that prompted the FDA to take a closer look. Ford is recalling nearly 35,000 Mustang Mach-E electric vehicles over a battery issue that could cause the car to suddenly lose power while driving. The automaker says the recall involves model years 2021 and 2022 and only impacts the extended range battery and GT versions. Some of these vehicles received a software update as part of a recall last year, but owners will still need to go to a Ford dealer for an additional free repair.
The FDA is proposing a ban on the use of additives found in some sodas. Brominated vegetable oil, BVO, is used in some sodas and sports drinks to prevent citrus flavoring from separating and floating to the top. It's no longer considered safe after animal studies showed it was toxic to the thyroid gland. The ingredient is already banned in Europe and Japan. Consumers will soon have to go back to shopping for their Amazon clothing online. The online mega retailer decided to close shop on its new concept, Amazon Style, after a brief attempt at opening physical clothing stores. The two locations in California and Ohio are set to close by next Thursday. The company says it is now focusing its physical store aspirations on its grocery outlets like Amazon Fresh and Whole Foods Market.
The City of Oaks Marathon tomorrow means thousands of runners will hit the streets. A look at the route so you know which roads to steer clear of Saturday morning. Plus. Coming up, how artificial intelligence is helping people with autism learn to drive before hitting the road. Here's a look at your winning lottery numbers for the Carolina Pick 3, Pick 4, and Cash 5.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Right now, Secretary Xavier Becerra is in Granville County bringing attention to efforts to expand access to health care in rural areas and to lower prescription drug costs.
CDC Director and former North Carolina Health Secretary Dr. Mandy Cohen will join him at the event. And WRAL's Destiny Patterson is in Oxford, where these health leaders are hosting a roundtable.
I'm standing at the Granville Vans Public Health Department. This is one of two stops today. Health leaders are discussing making prescription drugs more affordable and making healthcare more accessible in rural areas. The Granville Vans District Health Department received $1 million to expand access to behavioral health services for young people. In less than an hour, we'll be heading over to the Medical Arts Pharmacy and Medical Supplies in Henderson, where that conversation will turn to lowering the cost of prescription drugs. Before heading to our next stop, though, I'll get a chance to talk to some of these health leaders about the investments made in our rural areas like Vance and Granville counties. Destiny Patterson, WRL News, Oxford.
Clean energy is taking center stage in North Carolina. Governor Roy Cooper spoke at the Making Energy Work Conference in Raleigh. He stressed that more renewable energy on the grid could make customers' bills cheaper. And he says sustainable business growth is supporting the state's bottom line.
We want to train this workforce and create an ecosystem of great clean energy workers. And in fact, we're working every day on that because we know that workforce is one of the most, if not the most important issue that CEOs are looking at right now.
The governor reiterated clean energy economy employs more than 100,000 workers in the state. Developers have invested more than $68 billion over the past 15 years from companies, including EV maker VinFast.
And happening right now in the WRAL Life Center, we are staying on top of that breaking news. Raleigh police say that a Wake County school transportation van with children inside was shot at early Monday morning. There are still a lot of questions here, but this afternoon we are hearing from Wake County Public Schools. The school system has come out and said that no lockdown occurred or was needed at any school campus. The incident occurred in the community and not on a school campus. And also about the school not being notified, RPD promptly notified all involved parties, including the school and WCPSS security. One adult and three juveniles were inside that transportation van at the time. The adult and one juvenile did have to go to the hospital with minor injuries. There have been no arrests in this. This is a story that we are continuing to follow. We'll have updates in our later evening newscasts.
And coming up right here on Wednesday night, NBC News brings you a special event, live coverage of the third Republican presidential debate. NBC News nightly news anchor Lester Holt and Meet the Press moderator Kristen Welker will be joined by conservative radio host Hugh Hewitt on the panel. It'll be one less podium this time since former Vice President Mike Pence dropped out of the race. Also, former President Trump is expected to again skip this debate. Coverage begins Wednesday, 8 p.m. right here on WRAL. Happening today, President Biden will meet with families in Maine who are grieving after last week's mass shooting. The president will be in Lewiston. That's where a gunman shot and killed 18 people at a bowling alley and a bar on October 25th. The president will be joined by First Lady Jill Biden for the visit today. They will meet with families and community members, as well as first responders, nurses, and others who were on the front lines of that response.
Chapel Hill police say they have identified a man who was caught on surveillance video assaulting a customer at a bakery. They're looking for your help finding 48-year-old John Roach. He's facing a charge of misdemeanor assault. This surveillance video from the Guggenhoff Bake Shop shows a customer being helped up off the ground after he was punched and knocked to the floor. WRAL spoke with the victim, who says he has no idea what provoked the attack. A man accused of threatening to commit a mass shooting involving children is now in federal custody. Several of those threats targeted a daycare just feet from where he lives. Cary police arrested 46-year-old Kevin Douglas Wednesday night for cyber stalking. He bonded out and then was rearrested Thursday. Authorities say Douglas made 9 threatening cyber tips to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. He said he wanted to shoot and kill Mexican children. Douglas was released from federal prison in 2016 after he threatened to kill someone at the British Embassy in Washington. He has a federal detention hearing in Raleigh next week.
Tomorrow will be picture-perfect weather in Fayetteville for a parade, so here's your invitation. Come out to this year's Veterans Day Parade. Starts at 10 tomorrow morning, runs along Hay Street in downtown. WRL's Gilbert Bays will be MC, and WRL's a proud sponsor of this event. If you can't make it out, you can watch it. The parade is live on WRL.com. And you need to be aware of some road closures around Raleigh Sunday as thousands of runners will hit the streets for the 17th annual City of Oaks Marathon. The race gets started on Glenwood Avenue, 7 o'clock Sunday morning. Those runners will be on Hillsborough Street and other adjacent side streets downtown. WRL is a proud community partner of this event, and I'll be there emceeing the start along with Allie Ingersoll.
Learning how to drive can be nerve-wracking for any new driver. See how artificial intelligence is helping certain students feel more comfortable behind the wheel.
New numbers are out regarding vaping among teens, the group that is seeing a drop and the group that's on the rise. If you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, just click report it in the WRL News app. And it's a live look out at the DBAP, the Durham Bulls Athletic Park, bathed in sunshine right there, getting ready for Woolly Bulls Winter Wonderland. Mid-50s the temperature right now as you watch WRL News, available on Hulu and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device.
Pediatricians say RSV is the leading cause of hospitalization for children under the age of one, and the vaccine to protect babies from the virus is in short supply. The CDC is urging pediatricians to ration the drug and prioritize babies with high risks for complications. A local pediatrician says there's no reason to think that the season will be worse than others. Good news for parents with students in high school. There's been a drop in the number of students who vape. The CDC and the FDA says a new study shows a 16% decrease in the number of students who use any type of tobacco product. E-cigarettes have been the most commonly used tobacco product among both high school and middle school students for a decade now. The news wasn't so great for middle schoolers. The study reveals an increase in current overall tobacco product use from 4.5% to 6.6%.
Artificial intelligence is helping people on the autism spectrum become more comfortable behind the wheel. Studies show nationwide, less than 30% of people with autism try to get a driver's license. In response, the National Science Foundation awarded San Diego State University and Vanderbilt University with a grant to create the AI driver training program. Students can start the program at the California mandatory age for driver's education, 15 years old, but they must complete DMV requirements for a permit or a license.
It was about this uncertainty of could they do it? And sometimes fear, an actual fear of approaching a driving scenario.
The program runs for 8 weeks. It's designed to build confidence, help with focus, and emotional control. The lessons combine virtual reality with coursework.
Get ready to fall back this weekend as daylight saving time comes to an end. While the extra hour sleep is appreciated, it can also result in negative health impacts. A WakeMed sleep expert talks about how you can adjust your sleep routine after the break. And a songwriter is taking on Mariah Carey once again over a hit holiday song. Why all she might want for Christmas is for the judge to throw out the lawsuit. This weekend will set the clocks back an hour, ending daylight saving time. While many of us rejoice over that extra hour sleep, it can be a real pain for others. Joining us to talk about how the change can impact your health is Dr. Cameron Barber, a sleep medicine specialist with WakeMed. Dr. Barber, great to have you on the program. You know, an extra hour of sleep sounds like a beneficial thing, but why is it that the time shift can really throw some people's bodies so out of whack?
Yeah, most people do have a little sleep deprivation, and so the extra hour sleep is certainly welcome. When patients have a lot of, when they don't have a strong sleep drive, oftentimes they're trying to sleep too many hours in bed, then they have trouble stitching it all together. It's kind of like having water in a baking pan. It all beads up instead of in a bowl where you can consolidate it nicely together.
And then, Dr. Barber, when we go back to standard time, it'll get darker a lot earlier. And so that can have a toll on some people's mental health, right?
It can, but the benefit is that it's brighter a lot earlier as well. So in standard time, the sun is normally closer to noon. At midday, it's closer to noon and highest in the sky. So it's actually more natural for our biology. And people have an easier time waking up. It's safer to drive. It's safer to live in standard time.
So how can we make the transition, the time transition anyway, easier on all of us?
Yeah, keeping a strong, good sleep hygiene helps keep a strong sleep drive. So we end up with more refreshing and restorative sleep. So definitely the day after, make sure you get good, strong exposure to sunlight, and that can help reset your body's natural biological clock. If you have trouble falling asleep in the evening, that's okay. You can stay up a little later and fall asleep when you're sleepy, but keep a consistent wake time for the rest of the week, and you should adjust fairly quickly.
All right. Will naps help?
Naps often steal time from our nighttime sleep. Mm. Some people definitely do well with naps, and that's an awesome thing for them. But other people, they end up disrupting their sleep and not getting the full consolidated sleep, and their naps are trying to almost salvage the lack of sleep they get overnight. So for the most part, I recommend people avoiding naps.
Okay. And Dr. Barber, for parents with younger kids, what do you recommend to help with their changed bedtime and wake-up time?
Absolutely. With the younger kids, it's really difficult, any change. So keeping a consistent pre-bedtime routine, keeping the bath, reading time, turning off the TV and electronics a few hours before bedtime helps the little ones get in the mood and recognize the cues going into bed. And then even if they have to stay up an hour later, you can move them 15 minutes a day for the next 4 days after the fall back. And that should help them readjust to the new bedtime.
All right. Good guidance from Dr. Cameron Barber. We appreciate you helping us get our best sleep yet.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Middle of the day right now. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRN Severe Weather Center. We've had a couple of days here with the morning time temperatures. You want to just pull those covers over and get a little extra sleep. But now the weekend looking good.
It is. Big warm up. You know, this time of year, we're still, you know, in the process of making that transition. And the way we make that transition from one season to another is we see a big roller coaster ride with the temperature. I think some people think when you look at our normal highs, you know, they creep up a little bit each day. But that's not what happens in reality. What happens that is normal is we see, you know, a big drop in our temperature, then our temperature tries to rise again, and then it drops again, and eventually we settle down into some colder temperatures, and we're not quite there yet. So we're still looking at some warm weather this weekend and next week. Goldsboro looking pretty, so is Apex Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant, and of course, a sunny look at Hay Street there where our newsroom is in Fayetteville. It is 56 in Raleigh and Durham, as well as Rocky Mount and Goldsboro, Fayetteville 56, 55 Southern Pines, 54 in Roxboro. So very uniform temperatures, mostly in the mid-50s as you're stepping out the door right now. A pretty weekend. We'll see a high of 71 tomorrow and 72 on Sunday. Lots of sunshine, dry conditions. Football Friday should be feeling comfortably cool. Game time temperatures will be in the upper 50s, and then we'll fall through the 50s into the upper 40s by the time the games are over this evening. Most of those are playoff games. Now starting to wrap up the high school season. Lots of college football this weekend. Campbell plays at UNC at noon, 60 degrees. Winston-Salem State at Fayetteville State, 69 degrees at 2 o'clock. Norfolk State plays at NC Central, 67 degrees at 3:30. And Miami plays at NC State. That's a night game. Starting at 8 o'clock, temperatures will be in the mid-50s to start the game, falling through the 40s. Our rain chances for the next 5 or 6 days, big zero. That's going to be great for spending time outside as our temperatures start to warm back up. But the problem is it's been dry for a while. And when the drought monitor came out this week, we saw some big changes. Most of the viewing area is in abnormally dry conditions, and a pocket here in the southwest is now looking at moderate drought. A good chunk of the southwestern corner of the state is under severe drought. So now we've gone to 51% of the state in moderate and severe drought. Here's why. We just haven't seen that much rain in the last 30 days. So over the last month, we've only seen about 25 to 50% of our normal rainfall. And at RDU, we're about 3 inches behind for the year. Now we are starting to move into one of our wetter periods of the year. December, January, February tend to be fairly wet. If you start with drought conditions, you know, in the early part of the summer, it's really hard to recover. But this time of year, it looks like we would likely recover fairly quickly. Tropical outlook, we still have this little system out there looking very weak, not likely to develop, but headed into South America. A beautiful weekend for us, and temperatures are even warmer. And into next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, it looks like our next best chance of rain might come sometime late Thursday or Friday of next week.
Thanks, Elizabeth. We're following some breaking news at this hour. Sky 5 is live over the scene of a house fire in Raleigh right now. That fire started at a three-story home on Idlewild Avenue and East Edenton Street, downtown Raleigh. That fire is out now. There are several fire crews you can see on the scene. They're still making sure that there are no flare-ups in this. There's no word just yet on any injuries or what may have caused that fire.
A high school junior can literally stand toe-to-toe with Shaq O'Neal. Coming up, how a community came together to purchase some essential sports equipment.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. Someone shot at a van carrying children on their way to school in Raleigh earlier this week. The bullets didn't hit anyone inside, but the driver and one child did have minor injuries from glass fragments. WRL News spoke with a mother whose daughters were in that van. Chelsea Donovan will have that story beginning on our news at 4.
Durham's police chief has now responded to yesterday's pro-Palestinian protest, which blocked a major highway for hours. Chief Patrice Andrews says she stands firmly behind the way DPD handled the protest. Officers did not make any arrests and allowed the protesters to stay on the Durham freeway. The group behind the protest was calling for a ceasefire in Gaza.
All southbound lanes of I-85 in Hillsborough are open now after a crash. The lanes were blocked for nearly 4 hours. They reopened at 6 this morning. A WRL crew was on that scene as a truck was towed away. It appeared to be damaged in part of the crash. No injuries have been reported.
Don't miss an NFL doubleheader Sunday on Fox 50. At 1, the Washington Commanders play the New England Patriots. In the second game, the Dallas Cowboys take on the Philadelphia Eagles. Then flip it over to WRL at 7 for Football Night in America. And after that, the Bills play the Bengals on Sunday Night Football. Kickoff is at 8:20. The playoffs start tonight in high school football. And of course, WREL will have you covered. We'll have the best high school football highlights show in the state for you. We'll be covering about 25 playoff games. Watch Football Friday at 11:35 tonight on WREL.
A high school junior in Oklahoma can stand tall thanks to the kindness of others. Donald Templeton is a defensive tackle at his high school, and until now he only had one pair of shoes. That's because he wears size 23, same size as Shaquille O'Neal. Templeton's coach contacted Dick's Sporting Goods to see what they could do for the teen. Under Armour molded Templeton a customized pair of cleats, giving him one less worry. The coach hopes to receive more donations to get Templeton a pair of dress shoes and some more casual shoes because he knows he's going to do great things at the next level. Singer Mariah Carey is at the center of a second lawsuit over her Christmas hit. Writer Vince Vance claims the entertainer stole the chart-topping song All I Want for Christmas Is You. The lawsuit comes a year after he dropped a previous lawsuit making the same accusations. This time, Vance's claim includes far more detailed and personal allegations against Carey. Vance claims his song, recorded in 1989, received extensive airplay during the 93 holiday season, a year before Carey released her song under the same name.
Our pet of the day from the SPCA of Wake County is such a delight. Beat Roscoe. This 83-pound guy is all about the cuddles and playing with his toys. Roscoe is incredibly friendly, easy to be around. He is house-trained, likes to ride in the car, and he knows some commands. Roscoe also likes other dogs, so he'd enjoy trips to the dog park. Roscoe is battling heartworm disease, but the SPCA Wake is providing his treatment at no cost to whoever adopts him. Soon he will be back to himself. For more information about Roscoe, visit spcawake.org.
Magic and mayhem surrounding artificial intelligence this week. Coming up at 4, how advancement and deployment of this technology is now getting real-world experience. Hope you get out and face the real world today and over the weekend with some of the beautiful weather on the way.
All right, sending you good vibes tomorrow. His 32nd marathon, the City
Sunday
of Oaks
morning.
Marathon.
Yeah.
All right, you see a guy just blazing by. That's Jeff running in downtown Raleigh.
Get me some water.
NBC News Daily is next on WRL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with the WRL News app. Have a great day.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.